He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday, the Taco Tuesday edition, December 5th. The Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And we have a little bit of a turnaround here. The markets opened down. The NASDAQ was down, and now it's up. It's up 52 points, which is 40 basis points. The NASDAQ's up, is at 14,237. The Dow, however, is still in negative territory. It's down 133 points. That puts it at 36,071. The S&P is basically flat here. It's down a couple of points to 4,568. Small caps are down 1% today. Crude oil is up 68 cents to $73.72. Gold has cooled off a little. It's down $8, but still it's at 2,034 after hitting a new all-time high last week. Silver's down 35 cents to 24.56. The 10-year, you've got a rally going on in the bond market after a bit of a sell-off yesterday, and the 10-year is back down to 4.22. after hitting 5% not that long ago. The star of the day, once again, Bitcoin, up $613 to $42,223. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. I've got 23 years behind the mic, and 23 years as a professional money manager, looking at a lot of stocks every single day. Most days, just sitting on my thumbs, not making any buys, not making any sells, but watching for any kind of major transitions, rotation taking place in the market, which we saw in late December of last year. You saw a huge rotation going into the growth stocks as investors were looking beyond the Fed. And now you seem to have a bit of a rotation out of the growth stocks. We'll be watching that very closely. 3 days is not a new trend make, but that has been a trend here so far, really starting last Thursday. Barry, I'm guessing, did the JOLTS numbers, they hadn't come in by when I was doing.
Yeah,
did they come in better than expected or worse than expected?
Yeah, they were announced. I think some of those were announced right when we came on. Job openings expectedly fall in October.
Okay, so there you go. That's probably why the NASDAQ opened it down, and then it turned to the upside, because the market likes bad news coming on the jobs market. The jobs market has been the most resilient piece of the inflation picture. It refuses to crack. We get the jobless claims every Thursday. They continue to be strong.
We'll get the non-farm payrolls at the end of on Friday, and I think we get the ADP numbers
tomorrow.
So it's kind of jobs week before the Fed meeting next week. And job openings came in at 8.73 million versus a 9.4 million consensus. So over a half a million
based on what was there's expected. A little crack in the jobs market. The bond market likes it. It's down seven basis points on the 10-year, which is good. That means that's a rally. That's buying in the bond market, pushing rates down. The market had a five-week streak going on. It finally has got a little bit of a crack, taking a break. You know, our COO, Jennifer, she is a big Bulldogs, Georgia Bulldogs fan. And I sent her a tweet. I said, "Oh, I'm sorry about your Georgia Bulldogs." And she said, "Well, you know, after how many straight wins?
20-something wins. Yeah, you gotta lose one here and there. Yeah, that's a, and then of course, my alma mater, who went 13-0, got left out of the championship.
Yeah. Well, they
and
lost their quarterback, now, right? Now,
yeah,
didn't
we, yeah,
they
at
lose
least
their...
two of them.
Yeah,
but,
that hurt them. And well, if you're going
to
lose
play Georgia
one.
Now for them to start a, you know, Jennifer will be happy we get to play them, so they get to start a new streak.
Well, if you're going to lose one, they picked a bad time. Georgia did to lose right. to. You know, I saw a guy at church on Sunday. I didn't realize he was a big Bulldog fan, but someone said to him, "Sorry about your Bulldogs." And I thought, I thought he lost his furry friend. And I say, "I'll help you look for your dogs. I can do a sign and put it up on the telephone pole there." And he started laughing at me. No, my Bulldogs lost. All right. So, anyways, now it's what? It's in between. College season is over. As we wait for the bowl. Who are the final four? Do we know who
the
final
four? Yep,
Washington.
We got Alabama, Michigan, Washington, Texas, Longhorns, and Alabama. So
you know what? That's a pretty good group of teams there.
Yeah, they got some big name power in that group.
Good for the ratings.
Yeah. So.
Okay. And, you know, I'm always kind of an underdog kind of guy. The Washington Huskies with a quarterback or a coach I've never really heard of before. But, man, I'll tell you what, he's raising some eyebrows up there with the Washington Huskies. Okay, so the jolts come in. There is a little crack in the jobs market. For me, one of the big stories today, and their market continues to kind of fall apart, Moody's revises China's credit outlook to negative.
That was an interesting note that came across today. It was actually leaked a couple hours before they let it go. But, they cited rising debt in China, which, you know, is kind of somewhat surprising just because, you know, I couldn't tell you how much debt they have there to tell you the truth. I didn't know.
And they said rising evidence that the government and the public sector will come in and support. They kind of have their financial crisis that we had back in 2008, 2007, 2008.
And also, on the real estate side. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, ours was around real estate and real estate loans. So, you know, China also, they've been kind of quiet, but they're getting a little aggressive out there on the world stage. I know there's some islands there that the Philippines decided to build a base on. China, oh no. And so there's some aggression around the world right now. The Houthi rebels are lobbing missiles at our destroyer there in the Red Sea. You've got Venezuela getting ready to invade their neighbor, take two-thirds of their oil. You've got the situation in Israel about as heated as it can get right now. And then we kind of forgot about Ukraine. White House warns military funding for Ukraine is nearly gone. So I don't know. I think he's going to have a tough time, Biden, getting more money for Ukraine. But, there seems to be a proxy war between us and Russia with Ukraine in the middle and us kind of letting Ukraine do the dirty work. Eli Lilly announces U.S. availability of weight loss drug Zepbound. And I just wonder if the commercials, probably during the college playoffs.
I haven't seen a Zepbound commercial yet.
No, will feature Jimmy Page, with, I don't know, the song remains the same or all kinds of different choices there that you could plug in, rock and roll and just all kinds of things. But I think they kind of chose that name Zep. Because they realize that, that's kind of their market, probably, people that grew up listening to Led Zeppelin. So anyways, it's now available. Last month, the U.S. FDA, the Federal Drug Administration, approved Zepbound for chronic weight management after adults taking the injection lost an average of 48 pounds. That's pretty good. That's a lot of weight. I mean, you put 48 pounds of hamburger. Go out to Walmart and buy 48 one-pound blocks of hamburger. Throw it on your kitchen table. See, that's a lot. The medicine is indicated for adults with obesity. That's the problem, you know. If you want to lose 10 pounds, you know, you're going to not be prescribed Zepbound. And you have to have a body mass of 30 kilograms, M2 or better. So anyways, that's out there on the market. I think this could be one of the biggest drugs of all time. And I can make a very good case for Lilly still having a lot of upside potential. You can read my thesis for that on Seeking Alpha in the article I wrote fairly recently on the Indianapolis-based Eli Lilly. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. I was just looking at a few of the stocks here. Leading the way after the NASDAQ opened down almost 70, 80 points, turned around after the JOLTS report. That's the jobs openings. Okay. Job openings have dropped, over the past week. That's, negative for the jobs market, and that, the market likes that kind of good news because it, hopefully catches the eye of Jerome Powell and gang. And they say, wow, we better not hike interest rates, which I don't think they're going to do it in December. I'd be shocked if they did. Tesla's up 2.6% right now. Apple's up 2.2%. Amazon is up 1.9%. And, of course, these stocks have been under some pressure here since last Thursday I think there's still sector rotation, some big sector rotation that probably took place. Maybe a big player out there, you know, in the institutional world. Now, let's go back to the price of the Zepbound, okay? Patients who are commercially insured with coverage for Zepbound. Now, I know Medicare is not going to cover it. And yeah, I'm told that they'll never cover it.
Oh, okay.
Because it would break the bank if they did. Some are covering. I think it's pretty unusual to have coverage for it. They may be eligible to pay $25 for a 1 month or a 3 month prescription. Ones who are commercially uninsured are not insured for this drug, which is the majority of people, will have to pay $550 for a 1 month prescription. So that is the price right now of Zepbound. Robinhood's crypto trading jumped 75% month over month in December. What is going on in crypto? Okay?
That would explain why it's why Bitcoin's rallied here. I guess
yes.
I guess it's the new Reddit trade. I don't know.
And I just wonder about the underworld, right? And the dark stuff that takes place between Iran and Hamas and all the various players out there, Russia and their oil, China, etc. Are they using crypto to transfer money that laundering money, whatever the case may be? But you've all of a sudden had this big. Is it today's flight to safety? Which is hard to believe. I mean, what is it backed by? But suffice it to say, volume jumped big time in November, and you've got this big move in Bitcoin and other coins. I even saw one today, the CEO of some company. There's one called Sushi. That's a coin named Sushi. Okay. Anyways, now here's your bad stock of the day. Here's your disaster of the day. You know, and here's the risk in the biotech industry, obviously. Replimune, crash as skin cancer candidate fails trial, down 47%. Here's an update from EV charging networks created by Pilot Travel Centers. Now, I like going into a Pilot Travel Center, Barry. You know, you get your whole wardrobe in there, really. You know,
yeah, you can do whatever. Yeah, you can
trucker
pretty much get
jackets,
anything and, you want.
Just about anything you want at Alice's restaurant.
Batteries, you know, a corn dog, right?
Yeah, all kinds
of neat
stuff.
A shower, sometimes.
And you can do it now while you're charging your electric car. At least that's the plan. They've got 17 now open. Pilot Travel Centers teamed up with General Motors and EVgo. And they announced the opening of their first 17 locations of their previously announced National Electric Fast Charging Network. The network is available in 13 states at existing Pilot and Flying J travel centers. So, you know what? There's got to be a lot more built across the nation to support if we're going to really continue on this path. The infrastructure for electric cars is pitiful if you're traveling. Now, if you've got a charger at home, like I say, and you're not taking long trips, it works just fine. But if you're a road warrior and you go on trips, it's not a lot of fun. What do they call it? The range anxiety.
I was about to say.
Range anxiety.
Yeah, take your Prozac with you.
My wife and I took our electric car down to, we have a gas guzzler, right? And, 25 miles a gallon. But the other one is all electric. We took it to Orlando from Charleston, which is about 6 hours. It was a nightmare. The stress. My wife had range anxiety. It really ruined her trip. Google postponed. Now, this is not good, okay? Google is way behind. Now they're almost a, this is going to put them at least a year behind Microsoft with their ChatGPT. Google postpones once again their AI launch. Theirs is going to be called Gemini. I don't know what happened to Bard. Where's Bard at? Maybe Gemini. The company may hold a virtual preview this week, just to kind of preview it, but they're having an issue. It doesn't handle reliably some non-English questions. Okay, so don't ask it a question in French or in ancient Greek or other languages, because it's having a difficulty. It's not ready for prime time. So anyways, Google has, that's a stumble. That's another big stumble. Okay, now speaking of the Fabulous Seven, the biggest performer this year in that group was NVIDIA, up 220%. But let's not forget Meta. Meta was the number two performer at 100. NVIDIA was 220. Meta was 170% this year. Can you believe that? The company formerly known as Facebook. Mark Zuckerberg sells $190 million in stock as part of a trade. That's just a little bit of his holdings, right? $190 million.
Probably had a tax bill to pay or something, right?
Well, he's going to have to pay capital gains taxes, too. Maybe he figures the capital gains are going up. On a rally that has seen the stock gain more than 170% this year, he sold shares in November as part of a trading plan that was adopted in July 31st. In total, he unloaded 590,000 shares. Well, it didn't really tank the stock, so there must be plenty of demand. Those are the first sales for Zuckerberg in 2 years. So, yeah, you know what? Are the Magnificent Seven going to lead again this year, 2024? Will NVIDIA be up 220%? Will Meta be up 170%? Tesla up 94%? I wouldn't count on it. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, here with Barry Cut. Wow, Bitcoin up $919. What is going on with Bitcoin? The Dow still up, or still down 132, NASDAQ up 54. So the market's kind of all over the place here today so far. Okay, well, you know, it is prediction season, and I have found Wedbush to be pretty much a one-trick pony. They're tech. I mean, they're big on tech.
Or just Apple.
Yes, or Apple and Tesla.
Definitely, Dave.
Here's their prediction for 2024. Tech to rally in 2024 as AI leads the biggest transformation since the birth of the Internet. Of course, they're kind of known for hyperbole. Making big statements like that, and of course their favorites have always been Apple, Tesla. They do like Nvidia still, Microsoft. They also mentioned CrowdStrike, Zscaler, and a few others. So there's another prediction calling for tech. Well, you know what? I'm just as we went to the break, we were talking about the Fabulous Seven and the outsized performance that they had this past year, as the Fed, you know, started to lighten up late last year. About a year ago is when the market started moving, and people started moving back into growth stocks after they got wiped out in 2022. The NASDAQ was down 30% in 2022. And this year it's going to probably be up around 35, somewhere in there, with just 3 weeks to go. We'll see. But I don't expect 2 years. It's very rare that 2 years are alike. So I just am on high alert right now. I am seeing some action in some low PE kind of classic value type stocks. And I've also seen some action in small caps. You know, mega caps dominated the market here in 2023. But we're getting ready to move into a new year. It's just kind of a time when people reassess, they rebalance, money moves out of the big winners from this year into the ones that kind of got left behind. So we're watching that very, very closely. I have identified several stocks where I am seeing money move into, flow into, accumulation taking place. And what do they seem to have in common? They're either smaller companies or they're lower PE stocks than those that led the market in 2023. Okay, let's see. Micron remains a top pick at Citigroup. That's why I don't have Citigroup manage my money. I just don't. You know what? Micron is so unpredictable. Let's just take a look.
When a lot of their business has been commoditized over the years,
and their
earnings,
they
really haven't innovated, you know, beyond what some a lot of the other players in that space have. So.
Yeah, and their earnings are just all over the map. So, anyways, I'm just going to take a look and see here what the BestStocksNowApp.com says about it. You know, the returns, too, have been very dicey over the years, very unpredictable. And like you say, it's more of a commodity with their flash memory than it is a growth stock. So over the last 10 years, well, it's done okay. It's averaged 16% a year in return. That's pretty good. The S&P's 15.3. Here's my issue. in the bear market. Okay, this is a very important line. This is a very important row in the Best Stocks Now app. If you want to see how a stock did during the 08-09 bear market, that's very important to know because we will have another bear market. Micron was down 72% that year. Okay, so you got to realize that this is a very sensitive. This stock is very, very sensitive to any kind of an economic downturn, as are pretty much all of the semiconductor stocks, but especially one that's more of a commoditized semiconductor stock. Okay, Let's see, the earnings estimate, the earnings reports today, NIO had a really good report. NIO is a leading EV maker out of China. The problem with NIO,
besides being domiciled in China.
Yes, that's a problem. There's a little trust issue there with their accounting and all. But, you know, take note all of Rivian, Fisker, Polestar, all the others. NIO has now been a publicly traded company since 2018. It has yet to be profitable. They have not reported a profitable quarter. So that's 4 times 5 years. That's 20 straight quarters of losses. And the stock has been very volatile. It's been low as 1 back in 2019. As high as 66 in 2021. And now here it is back to $7.66. So they did have a good report, one of their best quarters. But still, they lost money. That's NIO. So I continue to say that Fisker and Lucid and Rivian, they've got a real uphill battle to profitability. And the question is, Barry, does the money run? What comes first, running out of money or becoming profitable? That's the race. I mean, that's the same kind of thing for a biotech stock. Okay, here's another disaster of the day. We watch these because we're looking for weak spots in the economy. Remember the used car stocks, how good they were doing? Used cars were part of the inflation puzzle, hitting new all-time highs. America's Car Mart down 18% today. They just had a horrible report. The stock is tanking. We are seeing some of the lower end of the retail spectrum warning a little bit. And I got to believe that interest rates also hurt a company like America's Car Mart. Now, one to keep an eye on, GitLab, GTLB. It's showing up in my A-plus momentum list, which is a list I look at every day in the beststocksnowapp.com. Today, there's 137 A-plus momentum. Okay, so this is momentum only. And the reason I find this list to be so important, this is where if you're a trader, which I'm not, I'm more of a swing, more of an investor, I think. But anyway,
yeah, as active as we need to be.
Yes, right? As active as we need to be.
We'd love to buy 25 stocks and hold
never
them
sell
forever,
them. Right? I could go fishing. There's 137 out of 5,500. So these are the strongest stocks in the entire market. And a lot of times when I look at them, I go, wow. Like GitLab's a perfect example. GitLab has just been kind of going sideways here in a pretty good accumulation kind of phase. And then, boom, today it's up 13.7%. I actually have to update my valuation there on GitLab. But it goes on to a watch list. So, you know what? I guess if you're looking for sources for ideas, I'm always looking for new ideas to run through my filters, always. I know where not to look. Barron's, the Wall Street Journal, Forbes. I just found that not to be my cup of tea. I mean, if you're going, you're going to find stodgy old stocks in there, like Crown Cork and Seal and things like that. But the GitLabs of the world and the and others, you know, you've got to look for unusual activity. For me, that's a pretty big sign that, you know, somebody is taking note of the stock. So anyways, take that for what it's worth. I have my eye on GitLab, which came public in 2021. They provide development operations platform that allows users to build software and reduce development life cycle. Well, developing takes time. You know, I've been through it here with the developers redoing our app. My best friend and I, we did it the first time. He did the programming, the software, and I did the spreadsheet and all the formulas and whatnot, the algorithms. But GitLab's GTL be one on our watch list going forward. Okay, we're going to take a look. We're going to take a dive underneath the market, put on the dive mask, the snorkel, the scuba gear, and see what's happening underneath the surface. We'll be right back. Is big tech leading the way today? Big mega cap tech, which has had a 3-day sell-off, which began last Thursday. Now, you have interest rates going the right way for big tech mega caps today, with the 10-year after the weak jobs jolts report. You have a rally in the bond market that's taking interest rates down 9 basis points. 4.20. I don't think we've seen that. That's a low. You got to go way back to find 4.20. So that's favorable for big tech today. The standout, if we're not for the Dow would be down a lot more were it not for Apple. Because Apple's a pretty heavy-weighted stock in the Dow, heavily weighted. It's up 2.3% today. It's really the only winner in the Dow. So the Dow's down 110. The majority of the Dow stocks not doing very well today. Now, they've been beating the NASDAQ over the last several days, but for the year, the NASDAQ has ran circles around the Dow. What will 2024 bring? That's why we have our ear to the ground right now, trying to detect any kind of rotation in the markets. Tesla's having an excellent day. I don't know what the news is on Tesla. Is there a day that Tesla doesn't have news?
Yeah, the odd thing was that earlier this morning it was down 2 or 3% because I think it was Denmark. So some Denmark workers are not going to basically. Going to kind of go in solidarity with some of the Swedish workers.
The strike.
Right, and essentially kind of help end shipments, right, at least delay shipments to Sweden, which happens to be Tesla's fifth largest European country in terms of sales. So it's there must have been some other news besides that's helped help drive
maybe
the Neo news. I mean, it could be the Neo news in terms of Tesla continues to derive more and more sales from China. So that could be a piece of it. But
something has got Goldman Sachs also. They came along and said the top 30 mutual funds are underweight. And they listed a bunch of stocks, and Apple and Tesla were on the list. I can't imagine that's the reason why it's up It's up 4.3%
right now. Well, I guess, and yesterday they Tesla announced, but this was, that was yesterday morning, which had already be priced in the stock.
Yeah, China Tesla's, sales, right?
Yeah, but that's old news by now, but they're up, not gonna fight the tape here. They're up 4.69% at the moment, so
well,
I'll take it.
There is a Tesla grapevine that goes from Austin, Texas to, San Francisco, to Germany,
to
all
China.
Over the world. Amazon, it's having a good day. It is getting ready to break out to a new 52-week high. They had the huge Black Friday, the huge Cyber Monday. We continue to own both Tesla and Amazon. They've done very well for us here in 2023. Amazon is up 1.9% today. NVIDIA's having a pretty good day. Maybe it's the call made by Wedbush. they're high on tech stocks in 2024, which did not come as any kind of a surprise. NVIDIA's bouncing off of its 50-day moving average today, and it's up 2.3%.
Yeah, speaking of electric vehicles, I saw an electric bus here from the city of Charleston yesterday. I didn't realize we had any electric buses. So
was there anybody riding
fully electric bus?
One person.
It didn't seem like a bunch, but it was electric.
You know what? Mass Transit. I know we have a new
mayor,
city councilman in Mount Pleasant. He ran on mass transit to solve our transportation problems on Highway 17. I look at mass transit and all the effort they go through, and there's one person sitting on the bus.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest, most important thing, right, is here is getting workers to here, right, and back, across the bridge from Charleston.
Yeah, but, I mean, you'd have to create their own lane, all right, the own lane for mass, then you're going to just clog up the cars even worse. I don't know. We have an issue in South Carolina. I talked to somebody in Texas yesterday. They have the same issue. So many people are coming to South Carolina, especially, I would say Mount Pleasant's got to be one of the fastest growing cities in the world.
It has been for a handful of years. And, the trick is, at least here, where everything runs into a bridge. So you can widen the roads as much as you want.
Yeah, but you got to go over the rivers.
It's expensive and takes a long time to widen bridges.
Yes.
Way more than it is to widen a road.
That's
the biggest problem.
And I'm fortunate, I save an hour and a half at least every day that I'm able to work. Because I don't have to commute back and forth. Okay, and a couple other stocks I just want to mention here. I have my eye on some potential value stocks to introduce into some of our portfolios as we could take some profits and some of our big winners from this year. We'll see. I take it a day at a time. I have my eye on CVS, which is trading at a 8 PE ratio. It is having a good day today. They actually guided higher for next year. Now, that's a stock that's totally been left behind in 2023. Nobody had any interest as they're chasing EV cars and AI, CVS. But you know what? PE ratios of 8 are starting to be looked at again. When last year, pretty much people snubbed their noses at them. And another one I've been watching is Stellantis, believe it or not. It currently has a P.E. ratio of 3. Stellantis is now based out of the Netherlands. Okay, Chrysler's gone through a lot of iterations over the years.
a lot of folks since Lee Iacocca, right?
Now, Stellantis is Jeep, Fiat, Dodge, Alfa Romeo, Maserati. Based out of the Netherlands, there's some good companies in the Netherlands. ASM Lithography, let's not forget, others. Is Novo Nordisk Denmark or the Netherlands? I always get those two mixed up. I shouldn't, but I do. Stellantis is one I'm kind of watching because it has some momentum right now, 94 relative strength and a PE of 3. Well, there you go. That's what's on my list. All right, if you'd like to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, get it coming to your inbox every Saturday, GundersonCapital.com. And if you'd like to set up an appointment with us, 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.